In today's news headlines, Venezuela's government says it is putting down a small coup attempt as clashes broke out soon after opposition leader Juan Guaido declared that the military was on his side. Mr. Guaido had simply decided to call himself interim president some months ago and has strong backing from the United States. Venezuela's democratically elected president Nicolas Maduro has been under intense pressure as anti-government protests have drawn strength from a free-falling economy. Maduro's security forces have been clamping down on protesters. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence tweeted his support for Guaido on Tuesday morning, saying, hashtag Operación Libertad, estamos con ustedes, we are with you. America will stand with you until freedom and democracy are restored. Venezuela has a long history of U.S.-backed coup attempts, but the key factor in past coups has been the support of the Venezuelan military. According to the New York Times, Guaido said in a message this week that, quote, a wide swath of the military now backed him, including top commanders, but he declined to release their names. Here in the United States, President Donald Trump issued a memo on Monday restricting the rules of asylum, even though it is Congress who sets asylum law. According to the memo addressed to Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan, asylum seekers will have to pay a fee to apply for their work permit restrictions while they await their cases. Trump wrote, the purpose of this memorandum is to strengthen asylum procedures to safeguard our system against rampant abuse of our asylum process. Mr. McAleenan is testifying to the House Appropriations Committee on Tuesday. In his ongoing effort to shield his finances from public view, President Trump, together with his family, have filed lawsuits against Deutsche Bank AG and Capital One Financial Corp to stop them from turning over data to Congress. Democratic committee leaders have issued subpoenas to the institutions in question to obtain Trump's financial and business records in order to determine if the president has engaged in conflicts of interest. The lawsuit complains that the subpoenas were issued to harass President Donald J. Trump to rummage through every aspect of his personal finances, his businesses, and the private information of the president and his family. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Tuesday morning said that they met with President Trump and that they agree with him on a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. This is Senator Schumer speaking with reporters after the meeting.
It was a very constructive meeting. It's clear that both the White House and all of us want to get something done on infrastructure. First, we agreed that infrastructure is crucial to the future of America. We agreed on a number, which was very, very good, $2 trillion for infrastructure. Originally, we had started a little lower. Even the president was eager to push it up to $2 trillion.
That's Senator Chuck Schumer on Tuesday addressing reporters after meeting with Trump on an infrastructure bill. According to CNN, there is still no guarantee a plan that both sides agree to will ultimately come together. And so far, it appears that many details of a potential plan, including how to pay for it, have not yet been worked out. Trump's pick for a Federal Reserve Board seat continues to come under fire. Stephen Moore, a conservative commentator with no financial experience, but with a record of making misogynist comments, may finally be facing opposition from the GOP as well. Moore was an advisor to Trump during his 2016 presidential campaign. Republican Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa said on Monday evening, "I'm not enthused about what he has said in various articles. I think it's ridiculous." The Washington Post summarized that among his controversial comments, Moore is known for saying, quote, there would be societal problems if men were not the breadwinners in the family, denouncing co-ed sports and saying female athletes do inferior work to men. Moore has also found to have failed to pay his ex-wife child support and owes $75,000 in unpaid taxes. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, spoke with the Washington Post in a live-streamed interview about the special counsel's report on Tuesday. During the interview, he announced that he was planning to make a criminal referral to the Justice Department against Trump associate Eric Prince for willfully misleading the House Intelligence Committee.
I do believe that there is very strong evidence that he willingly misled the committee and made false statements to the committee, and later today we'll be making a criminal referral to the Justice Department.
You're going to make a criminal referral
on
Eric Prince.
You know, I think the The evidence is so weighty that the Justice Department needs to consider this.
That's Congressman Adam Schiff during a live-streamed interview with the Washington Post on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who has become a controversial figure around the special counsel investigation, has finally submitted his resignation. Rosenstein will leave the Justice Department in mid-May, writing in his resignation letter to Trump that he was, quote, grateful to you for the opportunity to serve, for the courtesy and humor you often display, and for the goals you set in your inaugural address. Washington Post op-ed writer Jennifer Rubin denounced Rosenstein as a, quote, diminished man and shamed lawyer. Medicare for All is getting its first ever hearing in Congress on Tuesday. And among the witnesses are longtime healthcare advocate and activist Addie Barkin, who is dying of the neurological disease ALS. Barkin traveled with great difficulty and several helpers to Washington, D.C. to testify and spoke through a computer.
Some people argue that although Medicare for All is a great idea, we need to move slowly to get there. But I needed Medicare for All yesterday. Millions of people need it today. The time to pass this law is now. We have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to win what we really deserve. No more half measures. No more health care for some. We can win Medicare for All.
That's healthcare activist and Medicare for All advocate Addie Barkin speaking through a computer on Tuesday morning at a congressional hearing. Activist groups from around the country have converged outside the hearing to make their case for Medicare for All. Members of National Nurses United have been taping posters of crowdfunding campaigns that so many Americans have to rely on to help with the costs of their healthcare. An Army veteran who served in Afghanistan was arrested on Monday for planning attacks around Southern California in retaliation for the New Zealand mosque attacks. U.S. Attorney Nick Hanna announced the charges against him at a press conference on Monday, saying, "This is a case in which law enforcement was able to identify a man consumed with hate and bent on mass murder and stop him before he could carry out his attack." According to Associated Press, the man in question, Mark Domingo, said he had an assault rifle, semi-automatic rifle, and several magazines of ammunition. He discussed picking off Jews walking to synagogue, shooting police officers, or attacking a church or military base. Meanwhile, the suspected shooter who killed one woman and injured several others at Poway Synagogue on Saturday in California appeared in court and was charged with hate crimes that included one count of murder and three counts of attempted murder. And finally, John Singleton, the famed black filmmaker, has died. Singleton became the youngest person and the first African-American to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Director for his work on Boys in the Hood in 1991. He passed away after his family decided to take him off of life support when he fell into a coma after getting a stroke. He was only 51 years old. And that does it for our news headlines.